Away by Something Incorporeal. Read by the Dragon Girl. Written and recorded for Pod Together 2015. Having long ago surpassed her tutors, Baris, daughter of Bombor, seeks to continue her musical education. Author's Notes. Inspired by Sansuk by Detter Manfit. The grand stage stood at the front of the hall, dominating the room. Labyrinthian halls stretched out beyond sight from every direction, with velvet curtains tied back at the side of each entrance. Impeccably cut stones were set into the fluted pillars that lined the walls. The domed ceiling was pure white, exquisitely engraved with finely detailed geometric patterns. At the head of the hall were three great carven statues. Precious gems glittered in the eyes of the marble figures, giving the impression that they were only moments away from leaping from their pedestals. The central figure stood taller than the rest, a sharp look in its eyes. Baris stood in the mouth of the hallway, grasping the hand of another.
Adad, I cannot! I...
A sharp squeeze of her hand came in reply. She held the bow of the fiddle loosely between her fingers, tapping it against her leg repeatedly. Bombor laid a reassuring hand atop hers, calming the motion.
Baris, don't be silly. You'll be fine. You've been practicing for weeks, haven't you?
What if they don't like me? She asked quietly.
What if they don't want me?
This is an audition. You're not expected to be perfect, Nafif.
Bombor looked around the empty hall for a moment, before turning back to his daughter.
Let's take a walk. You don't have to perform for a while anyway. It might help to take things off your mind. Nothing better than having a bit of an explore.
Baris nodded slowly and laid her fiddle down in its case. They walked through the hallway, Baris supporting her father as they went. The plain marble was a stark contrast to the intricately carved walls of the Grand Theater. Baris could hear faint music and muffled voices from almost every direction.
Apparently, all the great musical developments came from here,
Bombor said in a conversational tone.
I've heard something about a group dedicated entirely to creating new instruments.
He paused slightly.
I've also heard that they have an entire room of drums, each one larger than the last.
Baris groaned slightly.
Oh, Baris, if you're not going to study percussion, at least let me go and have a look at them.
Her father had been trying to convince her to take up the drums for years now. It wasn't that she didn't enjoy percussion. It was just that nothing could compare to the sheer joy that filled her whenever she held a fiddle or gittern. The magic that sang in those strings. Not that telling her father this had achieved any success in dissuading his eager recommendations of percussion training, though. Baris grudgingly nodded her assent.
If you study here, you'll eventually get to know this place like the back of your hand, Baris.
There was something unreadable, and perhaps even sad, in her father's tone.
You'll be showing your old Da around here in a few months.
The first room that branched off from the marble hallway was, as her father had said, filled with almost every instrument imaginable. It looked to be something of a storeroom. Or, to a musician, paradise.
What do you suppose that is?
Bombor said, leaning down to look more closely at the odd instrument. Baris looked at the strange contraption. It had a handle similar to the one on the music box Uncle Bofur had made for her when she was a child. There were strings, yes, but the strange boat-shaped... instrument? Looked more mechanical than musical. She looked up to reply to her father, but he was already far off down the hall, inspecting the largest drum Baris had ever laid eyes on. How had he moved so quickly? It was wonderful to see her father so carefree. There had been something sad about him the last few weeks. Baris was concerned, of course, but she didn't want to pry. It didn't seem like something he would share anyway. She walked through the room, examining some of the instruments as she went. Her fiddle tutor had told her about the research that went on at the school. Everything from experimental songcraft to even analyzing elven music. It was exciting, but also terrifying. Standing on that stage, performing for the most celebrated songsmiths to have ever walked these halls? No scholarship could be worth that terror, could it? Did she even belong here? Amongst these great musicians and scholars? As she neared the hallway, the music that had been so faint before seemed to grow stronger. She stepped out into the open tunnel and started to follow the ghostly music as in a trance, running her hand along the smooth, cold marble wall. It was a pull from somewhere behind her chest, a yearning somewhere deep in a place that she had no name for yet. It was a familiar melody, Baris realized as she approached the hall the music was emerging from. The haunting sound of strings vibrated deep inside her heart as she stepped into the room. She bunched her plain smock around herself as she stared, enraptured. Four Dwarodams stood grouped in the center of the hall of naturally formed rock. One sat off to the side, a cello held between her legs. The tall Dwarodam at the head of the group looked up at Baris with a turn of her lips. She closed her eyes and began to sing. Baris found herself swaying with the music. She didn't quite know when she had started humming along with the song, but she found herself unable to stop. She was carried on wave after wave of melody. Each moment the tide grew stronger, until she could no longer hold back. The voice that burst forth from her was one she did not recognize. Far away! The silence echoed through the hall, and Baris came back to herself with a start. The tall Dwarodam took a step forward. Her fierce gaze pierced straight through Baris and left her feeling completely exposed. "What is your name, child?" Before Baris could answer, Her father came rushing in through the doorway, his walking staff clacking against the floor. He was red-faced and puffing with exertion. He stopped suddenly, appearing to take in the scene, before speaking hesitantly.
"What's all this, Baris?"
The Dwaterdam with the sparkling eyes looked at her, and the gaze was as sharp as cut glass.
"Baris. Oh, yes, I do believe we were due to hear your fiddle today, were we not?"
Yes. Only that is..."
"That will no longer be necessary," the Dwaterdam said, turning away from Baris, who still held her skirts clutched tightly in her hands.
"Now, see here," Bombor interjected,
waving his hands indignantly.
"We have traveled a good long way for this, and..."
"It will not be necessary," she said, each word carefully and slowly enunciated, "because she will be my new student."
Baris's eyes widened.
What?
Bombor stuttered out. "Of course, she will be trained in a number of different instruments, including the fiddle if she wishes. But I will oversee her training from here on. Is that agreeable to you, Baris?"
"Agreeable," she said breathlessly. "It is."
"Wonderful. Then it is settled," the tall Dwaterdam said with a sharp smile, fabric swirling as she bent to pick up a pile of notes. "Now, if you will excuse me, I have some auditions to conduct. Feel free to explore your new school, Baris."
She picked up her finely embroidered skirts and left the room in a swirl of color.
The remaining musicians looked just as shocked as Baris felt. Baris looked up at her father with wide eyes.
"What was... That is the first time the head of the guild has ever taken a student. This is unheard of."
The cellist's eyes were wide. The distinguished white streaks in her beard said that she knew the history she spoke of well.
"The head of..."
And then Baris remembered. The statue with the sharp gemstone gaze. The one that looked as if it was moments from springing to life. Baris let out a small, disbelieving laugh and threw her arms around her father. He squeezed back hard and didn't let go.